Changing minds one thought at a time.
Greetings and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Empowering Women series. Today I am alone, but that's okay because we have a wonderful, wonderful guest on the show today. She is the CEO and founder of Malika Enterprises. So without further ado, please let me bring onto the line Malika T. Hollywood. How are you doing, Malika?
Hey, 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 how are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for asking, and thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it is definitely, definitely a pleasure. You know, you are doing great things in our community, and, you know, if I would be remiss if I did not have you on the show, ma'am.
Thank you so much. You're doing some big things yourself. I see you on almost everybody's platform, helping them out, doing what you do best in serving and being a leader at the same time. So big ups, big thumbs ups to you as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, and I just want to start this off with, why did you decide to be a servant leader?
Why? My best answer for that would honestly would be I didn't decide to do it. I was called to be a servant leader. It's definitely a calling. Something you decide to do any day that you don't feel like getting up and performing. You can stay in bed or you can just not do it. So when I say I was called to do it, it's something that I know that God has put in me to do, and he really just put me on earth first to serve, you know, while leading people to walking in their purpose and being, you know, the blessed and the bold women and men that they are called to be. So it's not anything that I decided to do, because to be honest with you, some days, because I'm human, some days I don't feel like doing anything, but I know that, you know, this is an assignment on my life. You know, it's an assignment. It's something that, you know, I'm mandated to do. So that's how I would respond to that.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that it's a decision. They
right.
don't think that there's a calling. And so the reason why I asked you that is because we wanted to go ahead and clarify that thing, that even though you may not want to do it, you are ordained to do it. And
right,
that
absolutely.
Is, yes. And, you know, that is a misconception out there when we use the term servant leader. And I know the title of today's interview is Your Own Kind of You. And from what I have seen, Malika, your own kind of you is being a servant leader and helping the people find their own kind of them. Am
right.
I on the right track with that?
Oh, absolutely. I am. I mean, I think to society, excuse me, as a whole right now is really keen on, you know, people being authentic and really being themselves and not being imitations of anyone else. Now, we do know that history repeats itself. However, we also know that we were all created unique. You know, everyone's fingerprints are completely different. As many as over 3 trillion people on this planet, everyone has a unique set of fingerprints. And so my purpose, you know, my call, my mission, my goal, whatever it is to, you know, encourage, inspire, and motivate people to be who you are and be it exactly the way that you were created to be it. You don't have to look at, I say, Beyonce or Michelle Obama or Oprah or Bill Gates, anybody, you know, that's pretty much that we look at every day or that's gone before us. I mean, we all aspire to have some aspect of them, whether it be money, riches, fame, anything of that. But we're all called to make it to their level just in our own way, because there's someone on this planet. Well, there's more than one person, but there are people on this planet that only you have the power to influence or motivate or inspire. that only you have the words, you know, downloading to you from heaven to say to them that, you know, speaks directly to their life and to their situation. And so that's why I always encourage people to be exactly who you were created to be. You know, people are not going to like it. You know, they didn't like Jesus. So what? Jesus didn't change. So I always encourage people to be exactly who you are. You know, own who you are and walk in it. Don't be afraid to be who you are, thinking, you know, wondering what's everybody going to say, because at the end of the day, no one else matters but you and who you're called to impact. Because if you don't do what you're called to do, then someone, some hundreds of thousands of people out there, you know, that's going to stunt their growth, and it's going to keep them from being who they were called to be because you decided that you didn't want to get in position and live in, you know, your own truth about who you were created to be.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you are speaking my language because you know my sister. I'll say it in a minute. You know, you can't let somebody else take you off your path because you and only you can answer to that path that you were supposed to be put on. And you cannot let other people's problems and opinions take you off what you were ordained to do. Right?
Right.
And
absolutely.
So when you when you came up with that topic, your own kind of you, that really spoke to me because it was saying, okay, I'm owning all of this, the good and the bad. I own this. So,
right.
And that's such a power statement, my, you know, your own kind of you. So I can assume that it took us a minute to get to this place. So can you tell us about how you became your own kind of you?
Okay. And that title came from my first published blog that I wrote exclusively for the Huffington Post. I didn't write it on my personal blog. I said, this is my first one. I'm going to write it and see if Huffington Post will publish it. And within about probably 48 hours, it was up. So that was my first published blog. And as you said, it did not come easy. It did not come overnight because at 26 years old now, there's still a lot of stuff about myself, you know, that I have to talk about and share with people during my speaking engagements or in books that I write that I, you know, I'm not too comfortable with sharing. I'm just like, I know that it's my truth. It's my story. But it's like, oh, do I really want people to know that? Even from the time I can remember when I was about probably in middle school, you know, when you first start going into puberty and you're feeling all those emotions and everything's changing. I just remember thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm fat. Do people like me? My clothes are not the cool clothes. And, you know, just little stuff like that I just remember thinking about. And even now being an adult, going through like the domestic abuse and, you know, being financially unstable, you know, recovering from a lot of things, I'm having to relive a lot of my own truth. And every now and then I do question, you know, is this a little bit too much? Are they going to accept this message? But then I have to realize at the end of the day, everything I went through, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me, and it happened for me to be able to share it with someone else. And so even at 26 years old, I'm still owning parts of myself that, you know, I'm honestly sometimes, like, scared out of my mind to talk about or to share, honestly, sometimes even to write about or pray about, to be honest with you. Some things I'm just like, yeah, I know God knows everything, but I don't think I want him to know that quite yet, even though I already know he knows. I just kind of keep that in, you know, keep it in. So, excuse me, as I'm coaching and speaking and motivating others, you know, to own who they are, I'm still coaching and speaking myself. To myself, to do those exact things. You know, it may seem like I've just kind of, I'm not going to say mastered it, but I've become really good at it. But it's definitely not in my own strength. I could never take credit for it. Of course, I give all the credit to God because honestly, you know, that's my source. But even as I, as you say, do big things, it's none of it me. I can honestly say that because I know me, you know, at the end of the day, I wake up and go to sleep with myself. So I can't take credit for anything, you know, that I say or do, you know, that helps and inspires others. I know it's me, but honestly, it's just, you know, it's the God in me working. And, you know, I'm not going to stunt that from doing what it does at all.
Wow, that is powerful. That is truly powerful. So I know that when you're speaking, and you mentioned empowering others, I know this may come up, and they may say, Malika, how did you become this strong woman that you are? Do you ever have a moment where you just want to fall down?
Absolutely. the moments where I want to fall down, I would honestly say, a lot of times it just has more to do with what I'm telling myself. I still go through the exact same thing, especially, you know, being a full-time small business owner and entrepreneur. You know, I don't have what people would call a plan B. Now I'm in grad school as well, of course. I'm a, you know, single mom now, but I don't have like a plan B. So people always ask me, if what you're doing right now doesn't work out, what are you going to do? And I tell them, it has to work out. So I have days where I go, you know what, I just want to be normal and get a regular job, clock in, clock out, go home, feed my child, play with my child, go to sleep, you know, do it all over. I do have those days. And a lot of times it is mostly just me having to talk to myself and say, you know, you weren't called to be average. You weren't called to be normal. The things that you're doing has nothing to do with you. And to be honest with you, Dr. Finch, that was the hardest thing for me to come to grips with, that my life honestly has nothing to do with me. Because a part of me is really selfish. I'll be honest to say that. So I think my biggest struggle when I want to, you know, give up or just say forget it, I honestly have to remind myself that my life has nothing to do with me, but, you know, all the people that are connected to me, and then some of the people I haven't even met or have never even heard of me. And I say it when I speak, but I honestly mean it and I live by it. You know, I don't want to leave the earth knowing that there were somebody I was supposed to help or inspire, and I didn't do it because I allowed myself to get in the way. You know, my feelings and my emotions, which change like the wind, because I didn't feel like doing what I was supposed to do one day. You know, somebody else's life didn't turn out the way it was supposed to, all because of me. That's something that I don't want to feel, I don't want to think about. So did I answer your question with that? That was a long response.
It is a perfect response because, okay, you know, when you are a person who, as in your own words there, not meant to be average, the answer is always going to be different. It's always going to be dynamic. You know, I definitely want to applaud you for living in your truth. There's a lot of people who were not meant to be average, but they're forcing themselves into an average box.
Absolutely. Oh, man, that's powerful. So true.
And so, yeah. And, I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it, too. And you know the look of it. But you chose not to. You could have. You know, you could say, I just want to do this for my child so I can go find me a job and clock in and clock out so that I can make sure that she has this, that, and the third. But you
right.
know what? You chose to walk in your purpose in spite of your situations. And you embrace the fact that you're not supposed to be average. And
right.
that
Absolutely.
You are going to be that person that is going to move to that next level by any means necessary, because that's your purpose. So
right.
the answer was definitely, definitely perfect. And, you know, I hope that, you know, I'm on this right wavelength here with you, because, you know, I'm really feeling something tonight, Ralph, from our conversation.
Yes,
now,
I am.
Reading the description that you were saying, be unapologetically the person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so powerful, because a lot of people know who they are, but they're always apologizing for it.
Right.
They're not happy with it. They're not ready to stand in that truth. They know who they are, but it comes with all these different, oh, woe is me, and oh, I wish I could have, I wish I should have.
Mm-hmm.
But you put that unapologetically in there. Discuss the importance of that unapologetically, if you would.
Okay.
I'll say it because this actually happened to me today, so I'm glad you reminded me of that word. Someone, I'm on Twitter, of course, and I know people have the automatic DM responses when you follow them or things, because I have it. And someone's automatic response at the end of their little DM spiel was, sorry for the auto direct message from this said company. And the coach in me almost responded to them and said, why are you apologizing for something you intended to do? You set up this message, you know, so you wouldn't have to respond to everybody who follows you. So why at the end of the message would you then apologize from a correct intention? And so when you say being unapologetically you, I honestly think about, like you said, all the people who always have, I'm not going to say excuse, because you have reasons and then you have excuses, but the people who always have a reason or want to explain or seek validation from other people for them being who they are. You're like the person who loves to laugh, and every time they start laughing, they always go, oh, I'm sorry. You know, they're apologizing for laughing. They're apologizing for being happy. I don't think we as people owe anybody an apology for being who we are, because that's who we are. And that can go many ways. People say, what if, you know, who you are is offensive to other people? Honestly, that's who you are. You can't help how someone else feels about you, because I can guarantee you're not offending everybody. You just may be offensive to someone. So I just feel like at the end of the day, when you're not completely or 100% okay with who you are and you want to apologize to people for you being who you are, it's like you're almost telling God, you made a mistake for making me this way. So I'm going to take matters into my own hand and apologize to people for the way you made me. And we all know God doesn't make mistakes. He made us exactly the way we should be. And so I feel like when you're not being 100, as they say, if you're not being 100 with people around you and first being 100 with yourself, it's as if you're telling God, you made a mistake, but let me go ahead of you and make an apology to people for who you made me to be. And so whenever I use that word, that's really what I'm saying, being unapologetically you. You know, don't apologize for what God has done. Now, if you're just being, you know, malicious, rude, intentionally, that's something different. But I'm just saying, you know, your demeanor, like I have a dominant personality. Some people, it comes off, you know, rude every now and then. It's not rude, but I'm just very direct because that's my personality. And I don't apologize for it. I don't say, well, I'm sorry if you're intimidated, or I'm sorry if I say something to offend you. I don't do any of that because I can't apologize for who I am. Because I know that God made me the way I am for a reason. Now, not to say I definitely am not rude or, you know, do anything intentionally, but I'm not going to apologize for being who I am.
That's powerful. And believe it or not, it takes people years to get to that point.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
It takes people years to get to that point.
Right. And the more,
you know,
I grow, yeah, the more I'm seeing that. I'm kind of glad I'm getting it early. I'm going to be honest with you. I really am.
Agreed. Because, you know, and as a coach yourself, you know, you will see this, you know, in your practice now, I assume, and, you know, further along the line in your practice. And what do you tell your clients when they come to you and they say, how do I get on the road to being unapologetic? Leave me.
First, you have to be honest. Before you can be honest with anyone else, you have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, exercise that I do occasionally, especially with people who ask me that question, how do I find my purpose? I tell them, write down two lists. One, everything you love about yourself, and then two, everything you hate. And then in that list that you hate, write down things that you wish you could change as well. Because in making those lists, you will find, honestly, that there's a lot more you like about yourself than you dislike. And sometimes the things that we dislike about ourselves
we project that onto other people. For instance, if someone has a lot of book sense and we don't have it, we wish we were like them, so we automatically, I don't like them, or I'm not like that. Mm. You know, we take on this attitude, not because, you know, we really don't like them, it's because it's a part of ourselves that's missing what they have. And so we kind of wish we had that. So that's an exercise that I do. Because a lot of times you have to get stuff out of your head and out of your heart and get it down on paper so you can physically see it and read it. Because you can think something all day, but if you never write it down, it's just going to stay in your mind. So that's the exercise I do have them do, because that's the first step. You have to be honest with yourself. Write down everything you like about yourself. Brag on yourself. Think about things that you already know that are true about yourself that you would want to hear someone say about you. Write those things down. And then think about all the things that you know are true about yourself that you don't want someone to say, or that you don't want to admit about yourself. You have to be honest about all those things. So then you can say, you know what, this is who I am. The things that I can change, I'm going to change. And the things that I can't, I'm not going to worry about it because it's not up for me to change. Like, that is the first step, and it's being honest with yourself. Because I like 100% believe that you cannot be honest with anybody else until you first are honest with yourself. And I know that because it happened to me. I don't tell people stuff that I've read in a book. I tell them, like, real life situations, like, this is how it happened for me. So a lot of times I'm speaking from experience, because I know, you know, I've been on both sides. You know, I have days where I'm still on both sides, but being on this side is so much better. No one can tell me pretty much about me at this point and me not have any clue or idea. If somebody says, you're being negative, I go, I know, because honestly, I do know. Or one of my friends said, well, you had an attitude that day. I say, oh, I know. Because I was mad at something, and I took it out on you. Like, it's like I know, because I know who I am, and I know what I feel. And so in response to your question, going back to the question, that's the first thing I tell people. You have to be able to acknowledge, because you're not going to accept everything as soon as you acknowledge it. So you have to be able to acknowledge first everything about yourself, your likes and dislikes.
Wow. Exactly. I mean, you hit so many nuggets right there, and, you know, I really want to address one. The fact that you are saying that I've experienced this too, and I still have issues, mm-hmm. shows that you are a true coach, because you're not scared to let your clients know that I have bad days too. I'm not holier than thou.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're feeling. I know where you're coming from. And that's one thing that a good, solid coach does. They have no problem telling you, I have a bad day every once in a while. I know that you're going to have them too. So let's regroup and let's just go ahead and handle this feeling instead of going to the left or to the right. Let's just handle this and let's go forward. So knowing yourself and being honest with yourself is definitely a key thing. I learned that myself from a very early age. I own up to everything that I do. I own up to everything that I do because I'm like, look, this is me. I know that I'm a different type of individual. I am my own type of me too.
And, right, absolutely.
You know, and when people don't understand it, first thing you want to do is apologize. The first thing you want to do by nature is to fit in. But when you realize that you weren't built to fit in, that's when you're going to excel to your greatness. Because guess what? People want unique. They don't want cookie cutter. And as soon as you embrace your uniqueness, that is when you have hit pay dirt.
Ooh. Absolutely. That is so true.
See, and that is one of the reasons why I definitely had to have you on the show, because there are so many women out there who are unique but feel they need to put themselves in that round peg when they know they're a little square peg, but they're trying to stuff themselves in this little round peg. Stop the stuffing. be your square peg. And it's okay that people don't understand you. Guess what? It's not meant for them to understand you. Your path
exactly.
is for you. Now, you may want some support. You know, everybody wants some. But guess what? You're going to thrive if you don't have it.
Right.
And I'm speaking to the choir with that. You know, but eventually the right people are going to come into your life that are going to be that support system that you need. They're not going to be these Johnny-come-lately type of people, though. So don't expect these people who are cookie-cutter to support you. And don't feel bad when they don't. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? Because when you are a unique individual, you attract uniqueness. And uniqueness is not everywhere. So you're going to have to search a little bit more than the average person. But when you find your unique match, you're going to find them. They're going to be there for a lifetime. And
Absolutely.
So,
I agree with that.
And so with that being said, Malika, please tell the audience today, what is the cornerstone to being your own kind of you?
The cornerstone to being your own kind of you is honestly embracing every single area of your life, the parts that you like and the parts that you don't like, and just saying, you know what, this is my life, and I'm going to make the best out of it. I'm going to find the silver lining. Because this is my life. It was, you know, God's gift to me. And so I'm going to unwrap my gift. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that, you know, when my time expires, that I've done everything that I was put here to do. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how hard it is, how crazy it seems, none of that is going to affect the end result. And the end result is you walking and living in your purpose, and helping as many people as possible do the exact same thing. Your purpose is to help other people know that, you know, they are not alone on this earth. We are all on our own individual journey. That is the cornerstone to being your own kind of you.
Now, I appreciate you giving that nugget to the audience tonight. Now, we have touched the personal you, but we have not touched the professional you. So can you tell us a little bit more about the Official Malika Group and what you do and how they can find you?
First, you can find me on www.officialmalika.com. And on that website, you can see pretty much everything I've done, everywhere I've gone, everywhere I am going. You can see the services that I offer as far as life and business coaching and consulting. You can also see my writing services as well as editing and ghostwriting, proofreading. And then, of course, as a speaker, you can also book me as a speaker. I also have my personal blog on that site. Then have links to, like I said, almost everything that I've done. So you can find me there. That's my website. And then online, I do have a Facebook-like page. It is just Malika Holloway. Then my personal page is Malika T. Holloway. And then everything else on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. What else we have? Blab, Periscope. And you can also find me at Official Malika. I think that's really what everybody knows me for anyways, is Official Malika. But my name, my full name is Malika Talia Holloway.
Ooh, she dropped the full name on us, y'all. You know, we're special now.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that we have actually been talking for 30 minutes. Can you believe that?
Right. That went by so fast,
but
it was a powerful 30 minutes. It was a powerful 30 minutes.
Yes, it was. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight and for dropping these wonderful nuggets about being your own kind of you. And we look forward to everything you're going to be doing in the future, and I definitely would love to have you back on the show at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever you have me, I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll be calling you, my sister.
All right. Just let me know. I'm good. Thank you again so much. I really, really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And if Malika said something to you tonight that resonated with you, please find us on changeyourmindsonline.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and, of course, our YouTube channel. So please check out this podcast and many more that are going to enrich and empower your life. So thank you, everyone, for being listening to the show tonight. We so appreciate you, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much, Malika, for being our wonderful guest tonight.
Thank you for having me, Dr. French. You have an amazing evening.
You too as well. And to everyone, have a good night.